Chapter 17.
You have to believe me, Chris cried in a trembling voice. I really didn't say any of those things. Mr. Wood was talking by himself.
Lindy rolled her eyes. Tell me another one, she muttered sarcastically. Lindy had followed Chris upstairs. Down in the living room, her parents were still apologizing to the Millers. Now Chris sat on the edge of her bed, wiping tears off her cheeks. Lindy stood with her arms crossed in front of the dressing table.
I don't make insulting jokes like that, Chris said, glancing at Mr. Wood, who lay crumpled in the center of the floor where Chris had tossed him. You know that isn't my sense of humor.
So why'd you do it? Lindy demanded.
Why'd you want to make everyone mad?
But I didn't,
Chris shrieked, tugging at the sides of her hair.
Mr. Wood said those things. I didn't.
How can you be such a copycat? Lindy asked disgustedly.
I already did that joke, Chris. Can't you think of something original?
It's not a joke, Chris insisted.
Why don't you believe me?
No way, Lindy replied, shaking her head, her arms still crossed in front of her chest. No way I'm going to fall for the same gag.
Lindy, please, Chris pleaded. I'm frightened. I'm really frightened.
Yeah, sure, Lindy said sarcastically. I'm shaking all over, too. Wow, you really fooled me, Chris. Guess you showed me you can play funny tricks, too.
Shut up,
Chris snapped. More tears formed in the corners of her eyes.
Very good crying, Lindy said. But it doesn't fool me either, and it won't fool Mom and Dad.
She turned and picked up Slappy.
Maybe Slappy and I should practice some jokes. After your performance tonight, Mom and Dad might not let you do the concert tomorrow night.
She slung Slappy over her shoulder and, stepping over the crumpled form of Mr. Wood, hurried from the room. It was hot and noisy backstage in the auditorium. Chris's throat was dry, and she kept walking over to the water fountain and slurping mouthfuls of the warm water. The voices of the audience on the other side of the curtain seemed to echo off all four walls and the ceiling. The louder the noise became as the auditorium filled, the more nervous Chris felt.
How am I ever going to do my act in front of all those people?
She asked herself, pulling the edge of the curtain back a few inches and peering out. Her parents were off to the side in the third row. Seeing them brought memories of the night before flooding back to Chris. Her parents had grounded her for 2 weeks as punishment for insulting the Millers. They almost hadn't let her come to the concert. Chris stared at the kids and adults filing into the large auditorium, recognizing a lot of faces. She realized her hands were ice cold. Her throat was dry again.
Don't think of it as an audience, she told herself. Think of it as a bunch of kids and parents, most of whom you know.
Somehow that made it worse. She let go of the curtain, hurried to get one last drink from the fountain, then retrieved Mr. Wood from the table she had left him on. The room suddenly grew quiet on the other side of the curtain. The concert was about to begin.
Break a leg,
Lindy called across to her as she hurried to join the other chorus members.
Thanks,
Chris replied weakly. She pulled up Mr. Wood and straightened his shirt.
Your hands are clammy,
she made him say.
No insults tonight,
Chris told him sternly. To her shock, the dummy blinked.
Hey,
she cried. She hadn't touched his eye controls. She had a stab of fear that went beyond stage fright.
Maybe I shouldn't go on with this,
she thought, staring intently at Mr. Wood, watching for him to blink again.
Maybe I should say I'm sick and not perform with him.
Are you nervous? A voice whispered.
Huh?
At first she thought it was Mr. Wood, but then she quickly realized that it was Mrs. Berman, the music teacher.
Yeah, a little,
Chris admitted, feeling her face grow hot.
You'll be terrific,
Mrs. Berman gushed, squeezing Chris's shoulder with a sweaty hand. She was a heavy-set woman with several chins, a red lipsticked mouth, and flowing black hair. She was wearing a long, loose-fitting dress of red and blue flower patterns.
Here goes,
she said, giving Chris's shoulder one more squeeze.
Then she stepped on stage, blinking against the harsh white light of the spotlight, to introduce Chris and Mr. Wood.
"Am I really doing this?"
Chris asked herself.
"Can I do this?"
Her heart was pounding so hard she couldn't hear Mrs. Berman's introduction. Then, suddenly, the audience was applauding, and Chris found herself walking across the stage to the microphone, carrying Mr. Wood in both hands. Mrs. Berman, her flowery dress flowing around her, was heading off stage. She smiled at Chris and gave her an encouraging wink as they passed each other. Squinting against the bright spotlight, Chris walked to the middle of the stage. Her mouth felt as dry as cotton. She wondered if she could make a sound. A folding chair had been set up for her. She sat down, arranging Mr. Wood on her lap, then realized that the microphone was much too high. This drew titters of soft laughter from the audience. Embarrassed, Chris stood up and, holding Mr. Wood under one arm, struggled to lower the microphone.
"Are you having trouble?"
Mrs. Berman called from the side of the stage. She hurried over to help Chris. But before the music teacher got halfway across the stage, Mr. Wood leaned into the microphone.
"What time does the blimp go up?"
he rasped, nastily staring at Mrs. Berman's dress.
"What?"
She stopped in surprise.
"Your face reminds me of a wart I had removed,"
Mr. Wood growled at the startled woman. Her mouth dropped open in horror. "Chris!"
"If we count your chins, will it tell us your age?"
There was laughter floating up from the audience, but it was mixed with gasps of horror.
"Chris, that's enough!"
Mrs. Berman cried, the microphone picking up her angry protest.
"You're more than enough. You're enough for two,"
Mr. Wood declared nastily.
"If you got any bigger, you'd need your own zip code."
"Chris, really? I'm going to ask you to apologize,"
Mrs. Berman said, her face bright red.
"Mrs. Berman, I'm not doing it," Chris stammered. "I'm not saying these things."
"Please apologize to me and to the audience," Mrs. Berman demanded.
Mr. Wood leaned into the microphone.
"Apologize for this!"
he screamed. The dummy's head tilted back, his jaw dropped, his mouth opened wide, and a thick green liquid came spewing out.
"Yuck!"
someone screamed. It looked like pea soup. It spurted up out of Mr. Wood's open mouth like water rushing from a fire hose. Voices screamed and cried out their surprise as the thick green liquid showered over the people in the front rows.
"Stop it! Help! Somebody turn it off!
It stinks!"
Chris froze in horror, staring as more and more of the disgusting substance poured from her dummy's gaping mouth. A putrid stench, the smell of sour milk, of rotten eggs, of burning rubber, of decayed meat, rose up from the liquid. It puddled over the stage and showered over the front seats. Blinded by the spotlight, Chris couldn't see the audience in front of her, but she could hear the choking and the gagging, the frantic cries for help.
"Clear the auditorium! Clear the auditorium!"
Mrs. Berman was shouting. Chris heard the rumble and scrape of people shoving their way up the aisles and out the doors.
"It stinks! I'm sick! Somebody help!"
Chris tried to clamp her hand over the dummy's mouth, but the force of the putrid green liquid frothing and spewing out was too strong. It pushed her hand away. Suddenly, she realized she was being shoved from behind, off the stage, away from the shouting people fleeing the auditorium, out of the glaring spotlight. She was backstage before she realized that it was Mrs. Berman who was pushing her.
I don't know how you did that, or why,"
Mrs. Berman shouted angrily, frantically wiping splotches of the disgusting green liquid off the front of her dress with both hands.
"But I'm going to see that you're suspended from school, Chris, and if I have my way,"
she sputtered,
"you'll be suspended for life."